Keeping self-esteem, self-respect, some kind of peace of mind, a sense of worthwhileness, that our life has meaning. These are the ambitions of every single person here and every single person that God has made. We, as is said today in popular jargon, we want to get it all together. And yet, today of all days, are very, very complicated. This whole process has become for people. This is why in recent years, at least in the last decade or longer, there's been a literal explosion of publications of books and magazines by professional and amateur psychologists who in their own way have created a profession of inventing or making it easier for people to help themselves to get it all together, to teach them techniques. Many of them, fortunately, have been very helpful, because living today is a very difficult thing. But the irony is, when one goes through these programs and reads the magazines and books, the discovery is, after sorting out the material, most of it seems to end up emphasizing that in order to achieve a real sense of wholeness of life, we need to learn how to care for one another. In order to become a whole person, oneself, each of us needs to break out of the walls around ourself and to learn how to care for one another. We need to understand that we cannot get it all together in isolation. We can never hope to become a full person alone. Never. And that is exactly what Jesus is telling us in today's Gospel for Christ the King, as he describes in the 25th chapter of Matthew what the reign of God is like and how the judgment will be handled. Jesus says to us this afternoon, "Come, you have my Father's blessing. Inherit the kingdom now that has been prepared for you from the beginning." In effect, Jesus is saying, you have now achieved wholeness. You have become a whole person. You have become the kind of unique and beautiful person that the Father intended you to become. And now he is ready to receive you into the kingdom. He's saying to each of you who have discovered the simple secret of how to get it all together. The simple secret. Why? Why is it a simple secret, even though it might be difficult to translate into action? Jesus tells us. He says, you have become a whole person and ready for the kingdom because you have learned how to become a caring person. You have learned how to become sensitive to the needs of other people. Where you've seen hunger, you give food. Thirst, you give drink. Nakedness, you give clothing. Illness, you give comfort. And when you see people who are lonely, you give them friendship, which might be the most difficult of all, because it is your time and energy. But how many of you really believe that? Do you really accept this vision of Jesus, of today's gospel, of what the coming kingdom of the Father is like? Are you a Christian visionary in the sense that you are open enough now to respond to accepting the criteria that Jesus gave in the gospel this afternoon for judging whether or not you are gradually becoming a whole person, a together person, someone who is really serious about becoming an authentic citizen of the kingdom, because the kingdom is now and it is here in process. Jesus tells us as simply as he can that to become a citizen of the kingdom, to grow into that citizenship, means that now it is the kind deed, the action we do of loving concern for other people when we see another person in need. When the Father pronounces the blessing and welcomes us into the kingdom. Excellent sound effects for this afternoon. A middle-aged man recently decided to visit a clinic and undergo a complete physical examination. And he told the doctor interviewing him that he always took good care of himself. He said, "I always see to it that I have adequate rest, I exercise regularly, I do believe in good nutrition, and every day I take vitamins C, E, and B6. Now later on, after the exam, he happened casually to walk past the desk and accidentally saw the medical history as the doctor wrote it down, and in the place labeled deformities, the doctor had written in health nut. Now that kind of label is the kind that societies very often, people of society, that is the general run of the mill, pins upon persons who accept at the deepest level of their being the criteria that Jesus tells us about today as a means to get it all together to become a full-fledged person. It means that we must accept what St. Paul said, that to become a real disciple of Jesus Christ, we must become fools for Christ. Full-fledged fools of Christ. That's what St. Paul said. These are the kind of people who in their own time can very easily be labeled as nuts, as social freaks, as crazy visionaries. And it is only later, a long time after they're dead and gone from this world, that the label nut is removed and the label saint is applied to them. In the same way as some Sundays ago, I said if St. Francis of Assisi were alive today, he would be taking part in peace demonstrations and making certain he was doing all he can to prevent nuclear warfare and translating his visionary intent from the time he was then to the moment of his present. It means that the standards that Jesus sets for us are simple. They are direct, they are uncompromising terms of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To give drink to the thirsty, to visit the prisoners, to clothe the naked. It's all so simple, but difficult to internalize. It's something to think about 3 weeks from now when we celebrate our Advent Reconciliation Service. And rather than spend your time examining your conscience a great deal on your favorite hang-ups, why not spend it on today's gospel and discover the kinds of omissions in your life? It is on the kind of change of heart and the change of life as you learn how to be more considerate to other people. It is on that change of heart that someday you are going to be judged. Nothing in today's gospel made any reference to possibly some of the favorite things that you keep mentioning in your confessions. And over my 31 years in the priesthood, as I've read theology and spiritual reading books, again and again the writers indicate that when you come down to the bottom line, the most authentic, orthodox way in which Jesus could describe the last judgment and how we are going to be judged for eternity is what we heard this afternoon. How did we treat other people? It is all so simple. Not only that, go a step further. Rather than think only of the sins of omission in which you didn't do what the gospel indicates, why not, in preparation for the reconciliation service, ask yourself, how much good did you do during the last year? I'm sure each of you did a great deal of good to help bring about the kingdom. In that way, when we're all reconciled to ourselves and to each other and to the Lord, at that reconciliation service, we'll begin to understand the freshness, the vitality that reconciliation should bring to our heart. We should understand that the kingdom is not some kind of unattainable vision. It's not some kind of simplistic, ethereal hope that's going to happen in the future after you're dead. Rather, the realization of the kingdom is happening now. It depends upon each one of us now. The kingdom is going to happen here through the recreation of the universe with the coming of the New Jerusalem. And whatever we do to another person has cosmic dimensions. Every time we do a good deed to one single person, the entire universe is affected. The kingdom is a reality that is taking form right now here on this earth, within your own personal life, and with all within the lives of all the people here in this world. By every single action that you do, you're having an enormous effect everywhere. Each one of us has this enormous power to make the kingdom real as we share this sense of the human love and concern that we have for God's people. To bring about the kingdom when, as Jesus says, there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more grief, no more pain. And the old order will pass away. The old order, with all of that disorder and destruction, all of that is caused and controlled by humanity, by human beings. And our responsibility is to overturn that old order, to bring about a new order, a new atmosphere, a new environment of concern. That is the beginning of the kingdom of God within us. And it is all so simple, and yet difficult. So simple, but we all must do it. It's very much like the story of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who constantly was on a lecture tour and usually was driven to his talks by a chauffeur as he went to lecture on the theory of relativity. And as the story goes, the chauffeur had listened to the lecture dozens and dozens of times, and one time he said, "Dr. Einstein, I have heard your lecture on relativity so often, I know it by heart. I bet you that I could deliver it myself." And Einstein said, "Well, the next place where I speak at a university, no one has ever met me. When we arrive, I will put on the chauffeur's cap, and you will deliver the lecture." Everything went flawlessly. He delivered a magnificent lecture, and then at the very end, one of the professors of the university got up to ask a question that involved all kinds of complex mathematical equations and formulas. The quick-thinking chauffeur said, Professor, the solution to that problem is so simple. It's so simple, I'm really surprised that you would have asked me to give you the answer. And just to show you how simple it is, I'm going to ask my chauffeur. Now, looking at you this evening through my trifocals, I can tell that many of you do not believe what I'm saying, because you too feel, having been ridden by guilt for so long, that it cannot be that simple. You have no idea how often after the last reconciliation service people said, "Was I really forgiven?" And I had to